So it might be asked, then why was Sri Radharani at all with Krishna? Why didn't she always put her friends? She would put her friends whenever possible. But if she knew that Krishna wanted her, then she put aside all other formalities to please Krishna. In the Garga Samhita, it is explained the origin of Govardhan Hill in Goloka Vrindavan. That one time, Sri Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna were sitting together on bank of Jamuna, and Sri Radharani expressed to Krishna that of all the beautiful things in Braj Bhumi, I want to perform pastimes with you in something more beautiful than anything else. Please create something that is more beautiful than anything you have ever created so that we can enjoy together in that place. So Krishna began to meditate, and he meditated within his heart of hearts on his love for Srimati Radharani. More and more intensely he meditated on his love for his eternal pleasure potency, Vrishabhanu Nandini Sri Radhika. And from his heart, that love manifested. And it came out in the form of like a seed. And that seed began to grow and grow and grow into Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is the manifestation of Krishna's love for Sri Radharani. And when Krishna decided to descend to this world, he also sent Govardhan Hill along with him. In fact, it is said that Srimati Radharani, she said to Krishna, how can we go to this material world without Jamuna and Govardhan? So he said, they have already expanded themselves to be there. So when we do the Govardhan Parikrama, we should also meditate on the significance of the substance of what this hill represents. Sometimes at Manasa Ganga, at Govardhan, Krishna would perform many, many pastimes. Manasa Ganga was created by Krishna himself. One time, the gopas headed by Nanda Maharaj, they were listening to some rishis speaking of the glories of the Ganges, how Garuda was carrying a snake in his claws, and that snake happened to be touched by the water of the Ganges, and immediately the snake took a four-armed form and went back to Vaikuntha. So hearing that, Nanda Maharaj was thinking, we should take Krishna to the Ganges. Because anything that was good, they wanted to offer it to Krishna. That was their whole life. Just everything for Krishna, nothing for themselves. So they began to prepare themselves for their pilgrimage. And Krishna asked, what are you doing? So we are going to Ganga for pilgrimage. He said, but the Ganga's already here. How is the Ganga already here? He explained, actually what happened is one time Krishna killed a calf demon named Vatsasura. And the gopas, they didn't want to be with Krishna anymore because he had killed a calf. So he said, well, what do I have to do? So they said, you have to take bath in the Ganges to purify yourself of your sin. So he did not want to leave Vrindavan, because Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. So with his mind, he called the Ganges, and she personally came and filled up this Manasa Ganga. And when he took Nanda Maharaj there for Krishna's pleasure, right before all the gopas' eyes, Ganga Devi personally appeared on her crocodile carrier to show that, yes, this is the Ganga. So they all took their bath. At that time, Manasa Ganga was a very, very big lake, much, much bigger than now. So sometimes gopis wanted to cross, and Krishna, he would come disguised as a boatman, and he would bring them on the boat. And then in the middle of Manasa Ganga, he would start shaking the boat and shaking the boat, and big dark clouds went in the sky by his mystic powers and appeared stormy and waves, and the boat started filling with water. And he said, you will have to all throw all your ghee and yogurt into the water. It's too much weight. So they would throw it. Then it got worse. He said, you will have to throw all your ornaments in the water. So they threw it. It got worse. He said, you will have to throw all your clothes in the water. He said, no, no, we will not do like that. And it got worse. Finally, Srimati Radharani came and put her arms around the boatman and said, please save us, save us. Because in her heart of hearts, she knew that it was Krishna. And thus, Krishna fulfilled all of his desires. At Dangati, which is compared to the neck of Govardhan. Govardhan is shaped like peacock, and that is compared to neck. It's a very thin passageway. And one time it was announced to the Brijavasis that Bhaguri Muni was performing a special yajna on the instruction of Basudev in Mathura for the welfare of the Brijavasis. So with this excuse, Srimati Radharani actually, she heard from her peacock, whose name is Shukshmadi, that Krishna was going to perform his pastime of taxing them today. Meanwhile, Krishna's parrot, whose name was Vichakshana, appeared to Krishna and said that Radharani is going to be coming with her friends with all kinds of nice ghee and other milk products to take to this yajna. And Brinda Devi was the expansion of Srimati Radharani, who arranges for the pastimes of the Lord. We're sending these parrots to give these messages. So Krishna dressed himself very elaborately as a tax collector. And he and his friends stood there blocking the way. They even created a toll station so nobody could pass. Sri Radharani had beautiful pot of golden ghee on her head. And her associates also had this same. They were coming. And Krishna said that, I am the tax collector on behalf of the king of Braja. You must pay taxes. In fact, you're way overdue. You have been passing this way for so many days and you never gave anything. The taxes will be your ghee and your yogurt and whatever other products you have. So they would refuse. Now when they refused, then Krishna became all the more angry. Not angry, but appearing like that. And so many wonderful pastimes took place like that. And there's also a place called Danivartan Kund. And they would perform their tax lila there. And there Krishna, it's a whole long description by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, how Krishna gave a tax for every beautiful part of Srimati Radharani's body. It's pages and pages and pages of each part of her body, what she had to pay taxes for. Because her teeth were like pearls, something like 10 million pearls tax for her teeth. And in this way, Krishna was glorifying the beauty of Srimati Radharani. And then some other gopi would come forward and convince Krishna, just let them go now and they will pay their taxes tomorrow because the yajna is about to happen. So the next day Krishna came to collect the taxes, but they came before him and they were hiding, the gopis. So when Krishna came, they came up from behind and they started tying them up to the trees and to the rocks. And then Krishna was their prisoner. And they said, actually, Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan. And you take your cows every day to eat the grasses of Vrindavan. So therefore, you must pay taxes to her. He said, what tax do I have? I have nothing. So the tax that he paid was he bowed down and placed his head on her lotus feet and accepted her as Vrindavaneshwari, the queen of Praja. In fact, after Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, there was a big, big abhishek that Indra performed with the demigods for Krishna. And they named him the king of Indra and the king of Braja. And then there was, Jiva Goswami wrote an entire book on the order of Rupa Goswami, describing how the gopis had a beautiful abhishek for Radharani, headed by Brinda Devi, to coronate her as the queen of Vrindavan. The compassion of Srimati Radharani was revealed in a place near Govardhan called Shivakari, where there was some little boys, they saw this jackal. Jackal is considered the most low class of animals. And they were always harassing this jackal. They chased after the jackal. The jackal went into his hole and they put fire around his hole. And the jackal was actually crying in pain. So Srimati Radharani asked, you know, who is that crying? Please, in our Lilasthan, nobody should be unhappy here. So Lalita Sakhi and other gopis went and chased all the boys away. And then they brought the jackal to Srimati Radharani. And he bowed down at her lotus feet. And she blessed him. And that blessing was that he entered into the ecstatic consciousness of pure love of God. And she gave him entrance into her lila as one of her confidential associates. So we are all jackals. And we're all being harassed in so many ways by the adiatmaka, adidaivaka, adibhotika. We're harassed by natural disturbances. Just yesterday there was an earthquake. Did you feel it? Yes. The whole building was moving. If it just would have moved out slightly more, total devastation. Mexico City some years ago. There was an earthquake for a few seconds and it destroyed hundreds and thousands of people. Practically the entire city was devastated. When there's an earthquake in a city, it could mean mass destruction. We had one yesterday, just a little less. But who's there controlling? Which of our politicians is there controlling how much it can go and how much it doesn't? It's totally out of our control. This is called adidaivaka. Miseries caused by natural disturbances. Too much heat, too much cold, too much rain, not enough rain. Harassment. And harassment by adiatmaka, our own body and mind. Even when everything's going so nicely, still the mind is agitated. Today's Radhastami, the most wonderful day of the year. We're in the temple of Radha Gopinath. We're standing before our beloved Ishtadevas, Radha Gopinath. Where in the world would we rather be? Who would we rather be with on this most auspicious day? And yet, how many, and we're hearing katha about Radha and Gopinath. And still our minds, we're looking at the deities and we're just thinking about this problem and that problem and what will I do with this and what will I do with that. Harassment. Do any of you have that experience? We want to absorb ourselves totally, but the mind harasses us. What to speak of the body? It's tired. I see, most of you are just struggling just to survive this class. No doubt I'm not a good speaker or anything else, but I guess we get to the next point. Adibhotika, miseries inflicted by other people like me. So cruel that I put you in a situation where it's embarrassing if you get up to leave because there's hundreds and hundreds of devotees sitting around you. You don't want to make any aparads, but at the same time I just go on, just rambling on with whatever I talk. And infliction. What to speak of people who don't believe in Krishna consciousness, who harass you, who try to somehow or other take away your devotional service, or your children harass you, or your parents harass you, or your godbrothers and godsisters harass you. Material world means harassment. And we're all like that little jackal being harassed. But somehow or other, if we can attract the mercy of the servant of Srimati Radharani, then that devotee can bring us to Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. And then all of our desires are fulfilled. Shri Radharani ki jai. Not far from Nandagaon is Yavat, which is the place of Srimati Radharani's in-laws. This is such a high spiritual principle about the Leela of Radha and Krishna. You see, there are five rasas: Santaras, Dasyaras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras. And in Madhurya Ras, there are two prominent categories. There is Swakya Ras and Parakya Ras. Dwarka is Madhurya Ras in relationship of married queens. Krishna married 16,108 queens with proper ceremony, and they were his wives. But in Vrindavan, although actually every living entity is Krishna's property, Krishna is Purusha, all living entities are Prakriti, therefore actually Krishna is the supreme husband of everyone. He is Swami, and we are all his wives. We are all his female counterparts in that sense, as his infinitesimal parts and parcels. So Krishna is the proprietor, the master, and the husband of every living being. But for the sake of transcendental pastimes, to increase the ras, or the pleasure, of the lila, Krishna performs this parakīya ras, where Krishna has loving relationships without marriage. Now, Prabhupada and our acharyas describe that the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. In Bhagavad Gita, there's the example of banyan tree on the bank of a lake, and the reflection of the banyan tree is just the opposite of the real banyan tree. The top part of the banyan tree is the bottom part of the reflection, and the bottom part is the top. So what is the most abominable thing in this material world? Illicit sex. Amorous relationships without proper marriage. It is considered abominable in every religion. It's unacceptable. But in the spiritual world, it is the highest form of spiritual relationships. So, Krishna, in order to make this relationship very special, he personally arranged for all the young unmarried gopis to get married. But he did it in such a way that simply astounds our minds. You know, the gopis at Tapovan, they performed the Kartik Vrata by performing austerities, worshipping the deity of Katyayani, and only eating this habishan, very, very simple type of khichdi without spices and salt. And their whole meditation was that they wanted Krishna to be their husband. So Krishna satisfied them in many ways. In one time, at the end of their vrata, Krishna came and stole their clothes and climbed up a kadamba tree with them, and then told them to come out of the water without their clothes. And actually, we all have to stand before Krishna without the clothes of our false egos. I will tell you a story that may be very difficult for you to understand. But one time we were preaching at this place called the Rainbow Gathering. More devotees were made at this Rainbow Gathering than any other event in North America for many, many years. Every year, so many people become devotees. So at one point, we were invited to give this kirtan at the very end. We just kind of stay at our own place, but we were asked to go to this kirtan. It was just myself and one godbrother named Gadadhar. And it was a hot day, and everyone took off their clothes. And I was just looking at the ground, and Gadadhar was looking at the ground, and I said, invite them to New Vrindavan. So he invited them to New Vrindavan. So one of them said, do we have to wear clothes? And if he said yes, they would have all gone, ah. And if he said no, he couldn't have said no. People can't do that. So he gave an expert answer. He said, actually, you are all clothed. He said, these clothes are just very external. But our bodily designations, we're thinking we're a man, a woman, we're thinking this body, this is all false ego. We have so many desires, that's so many layers of clothes. You people, if you think you're naked, but actually you have so many hundreds of layers of clothes all over you. We want you to chant Hare Krishna, become completely free from your real ego, and allow your true soul to stand naked before God. So they all cheered. They put their clothes on and joined the kirtan. So he defeated them. So it is a fact that as long as we're covered by any misconceptions of false ego, we cannot really stand before Krishna. We have to stand before him with our pure self, unadulterated, uncovered by material qualities. And also Krishna accepted them as wife, because a woman is never stand without clothes before anyone but her husband, so he fulfilled their desire. And also, soon after this, sometime around that time anyway, you know how Brahma stole the cows, or the calves and the cowherd boys from Krishna, because he wanted to test Krishna. Krishna had just killed Agasura. And Brahma was thinking, who is this boy? I have to see. I have to test him. It was actually on Balaram's birthday. He stole the calves and the cowherd boys. So Krishna expanded himself as every calf and every gopa. Every gopa was absolutely identical to the original gopa. The only difference is when they came home, the parents loved their child more than they ever loved him before. In fact, they loved their own child as much as they loved Krishna. This was impossible. It was never before like this. Shukadeva Goswami told Pariksha Maharaj that all the gopis and gopas of Vrindavan loved Krishna more than their own children. He was their life and soul. Pariksit Maharaj said, how is this possible? Nobody loves another's child as much as their own. And Sukadeva Goswami explained that Krishna is the life force, the soul in everyone's heart. He is the all-attractive object of everyone's love. So during this year, everyone just loved their children, and every gopa and gopi in Vrindavan and every cow in Vrindavan wanted to have the same service as Yashoda. They were not envious of her, because they had the same love as her. But she had that special service of nursing Krishna with her milk. So Krishna satisfied all their desires by being their own children for 1 year. And all the cows got to give their milk to Krishna just like Yashoda. And every mother got to give their milk and their parental affection to Krishna just like Yashoda. And every man got to have the same loving relationship with Krishna as Nanda Maharaj. This is Chintamani Dham. Krishna fulfills everyone's innermost desires. And the young gopis all wanted Krishna as their husbands. So Krishna came to Nanda Maharaj and said, astrologically, this is a very good year for marriages for all the young gopis to the young gopas. Purnamasi, who is the guru of Braja, she said, yes, yes, what he's saying is correct. She was Yogamaya. So there was marriages, and all the young gopis married all the young gopas, but they were all Krishna. So Krishna fulfilled everyone's desire. They all got to marry Krishna. But after that year, the original gopas came back. But they understood exactly what their role was. That their role was not even to touch these gopis, but just to assist them in these parakiras, to assist Krishna in making these wonderful, wonderful mysteries in the Leela So the particular Gopa that Srimati Radharani married was named Abhimanu. And he was the incarnation of Krishna's shadow. He was actually an illusory form of Krishna himself. So he was an expansion of Krishna. And his service was simply to increase the happiness of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So one time, Abhimanu went to buy some cows. His sister's name was Kutila, and his mother's name was Jyotila. And their particular service was to try to keep Krishna away from Srimati Radharani, their daughter-in-law. So Krishna spread some word that Krishna is going to be disguising himself as Abhimanu to associate with Radharani. So Abhimanu needed some more gold coins to buy the cows. So he came back in the afternoon, and everyone was waiting for him with sticks and brooms in their hands. As soon as he came, they said, "You rascal, we know Krishna, we know you're disguised as our son. Get out of here, get out of here. Don't come, we will never let you near Radharani. Get out of this town." And they started threatening to hit him, and they assassinated his character with harsh words. So Abhimanu ran away. He's thinking, what happened? Then Krishna came disguised as Abhimanu. And Jyotila and Kutila, "Oh, we're so happy that you came. Finally you came. You should have seen. Krishna just came to associate with your wife, but we kicked him out of this town like anything." Another time, Yasoda Mai, she wanted to express her gratitude to Srimati Radharani. Because one time when Radharani was a very little girl, she was with her friends, and Durvasa Muni came to Vrindavan, and he's such a harsh-looking sage that her friends all ran away. But she greeted him very nicely and offered him nice services. So he was pleased upon her, and he gave her benediction that whatever you cook will taste sweeter than nectar, and whoever eats your food will live a long, healthy life, free of disease. So when this information came to Yashoda Mai, who is Brajeshwari, the queen of Vrindavan, she requested that Srimati Radharani cook breakfast for Krishna every day. So along with her friends, she would come to Pavan Srovar to cook for Krishna and the Balaram and Cowherd boys each and every day. In fact, whenever Krishna would kill big demons like Agasura or Keshi, it was the faith of Yashoda that actually my son doesn't have these powers, but it's because Radharani cooks all these nutritious foods for him that he has the power to kill all these demons. And even when he was holding up Govardhan Hill, the gopis, as far as they were concerned, only because Radharani glances upon you do you have the power to hold up this hill. So one day Yashoda Mai decided to send a gift, and she opened a trunk and was filling it with precious jewels and all other types of nice things. And Krishna asked, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm sending this to Radharani." So after it was all packed up and locked, Yashoda Mai called for Abhimanu to come to bring the gift. So while she was out of the room, the cowherd boys opened the lock and they took everything out and put Krishna inside. And Abhimanyu was told by Yashoda, don't let anyone see what's in it except Srimati Radharani. So Abhimanyu, little did he know, he was carrying Krishna on his back. And he brought him back to Yavat, and in Radharani's room, Krishna jumped out of the box. One time, Krishna, feeling separation from Srimati Radharani, he played a particular pastime, which is reveals the glory of Sri Radha. He pretended to have been bitten by a snake and had high fever and was on the verge of death. So everyone in Vrindavan was very much disturbed by this. They all came together. How do we save Krishna? At that time, Purnamasi, she said, there's only one thing that could save him. If there's one lady in Braja who's 100% perfectly chaste, whose mind never deviates for even a second from her lover, from the object of her love, that person has to sprinkle water on Krishna. But the way she has to carry the water is she has to go to the Jamuna and a pot with 100 holes in it. She has to fill it with the Jamuna water, and if one drop falls from that pot, then that is the sign that the woman is not perfectly chaste. So Kutila and Jatila, they were always boasting that they were the most chaste women in Braja. So naturally, the Brijavasis came to them. You say that you're so chaste, so we need you. It's desperate. Krishna's dying. So Jatila, the mother-in-law, she was a little more intelligent. She went into hiding. She was thinking, let my daughter deal with this one, and I'll see what happens to her. So Kutila said, yes, yes, give me the pot. Are you sure the 100 holes are in it? Very good. So she went to Jamuna, and she filled up that pot and lifted it up, and as soon as she lifted up, all the water poured out of those holes within a matter of seconds. And Jatila was watching from a hidden place, and she was thinking, I'm not going to do that. Purnamasi said, only Srimati Radharani is so pure that she could save Krishna's life. So they went to Srimati Radharani. She said, I'm not going to do it. My mother-in-law and sister-in-law are always saying all bad things against me. They call me unchaste. So how could I do this? I will not do this. Unless they order me to do it. So the Brijabasis, Purnamasi, Yashoda, Ananda, they approached Jatila and Kutila and said, Krishna's on the verge of death. If he dies, Purnamasi said, Yashoda will die. If she dies, I will die. Is that what you want? So they begged Radharani. They promised, we will never say anything about you again. So Radharani agreed. And she went to the Jamuna and filled that pot with water and carried it all the way back to Nandagaon where Krishna was. And not a single drop fell out. So this is Parakiya Ras. Krishna wanted to prove to the world that Radharani's chastity and purity was absolutely perfect beyond compare. Another time, Srimati Radharani was feeling separation from Krishna, and she fainted as if she was bitten by a snake. So the gopis said to Jatila Katila that the snake has bitten her and the poison is rising. They were very much afraid. This will be the destruction of our whole family if Srimati Radharani dies. What to do? Champaklata came with a very mysterious looking little girl who happened to be Krishna in disguise and said that this is a very expert gypsy type woman who knows exactly how to neutralize the effects of snake bites. So Jatila said, oh, very good, very good, please go in. He said, I will go in, but only alone. No one else can go in with me. She said, please go. So he went into Srimati Radharani's room. And Jatila Katila were listening through the door. And in the voice of a very sweet young girl, Krishna spoke. He said, oh snake, tell me, why you have bitten this girl? And then Krishna imitated the voice of a snake and said, it's because I hate Jatila and Katila. I have come to kill them. And I know if I kill this girl, they will die. Why do you hate them so much? Because they're liars. What do you mean liars? They told Yashoda that they would send Radharani for cooking every day and sometimes they stop her. So is there any possibility that you'll remove your poison from this dying girl? He said, only if they come and vow to me that they will never break their vow again and they will never interfere with Radharani cooking for Krishna. And at that moment, Jatila ran in the room and said, I promise, I vow, I'll never do it again. Shri Radharani ki jai. At Kokilaban, there's a forest. Bhakti Ratnakar explains how one time, just at the coming of night, Krishna stood under a tree and started singing like the most beautiful cuckoo bird. And that beautiful song was carried to Yavat. So Jatila said to Vishakha and Lalita, do you hear that sound? Never, ever, ever have I heard a kokila singing so sweetly as that. So Vishakha Gopi said, well, could we all, along with Radharani, go to see that bird? And Jatila said, yes, yes, of course, you go. Tell me all about it. So they went, and they met under the tree of Kokilaban, where Krishna was singing his beautiful song of love. According to Srimad Bhagavatam and our acharyas, the culmination of Krishna's lila is the rasa dance. There are in particular 5 chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam which describes the rasa lila. It is the purest, highest exchange of love in the spiritual world. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes the rasa lila took place in the month of Kartik, autumn season, On the night of the Sharad Purnima, Krishna played upon his Bamsi flute under the Bamsi Va tree, and all the gopis of Vrindavan, who were so fortunate, they renounced all other duties, all other conceptions, all other attachments, and went to meet with Krishna. And the greatest sannyasis consider this to be the ultimate exhibition of renunciation. These gopis were super goddesses of fortune. Every one of the gopis was far superior in beauty and qualities even than Lakshmi, the queen of Vaikuntha. What to speak of any other woman in the heavenly planets? Krishna met with gopis. He tested them. He tried to send them back home, but they had already surrendered their lives and soul for his pleasure, and they were determined to please him. You see, the gopis did not have a tinge of selfish desires to enjoy Krishna in the Rasalila. They simply wanted to be enjoyed by Krishna. But Krishna enjoys when his devotee enjoys. So the gopis enjoyed only to make Krishna happy. When Krishna was dancing with all these most virtuous, beautiful devotees, the supreme devotees in all of creation were gathered together with him, Krishna disappeared. Shukadeva Goswami explains, Krishna left them all, and they all began to search for Krishna. And they were praying in separation for Krishna. This is Gopi Gita. And as they were searching, they were trying to follow his footprints. And they noticed that there were two sets of footprints. And they understood that this other gopi who was walking with Krishna, she is Ayana Radhita. She is the most special. She is supreme in her worship of Krishna. That of all the gopis, he has left all of us only to accept the worship of this one. In this incident, above all the other Vedic literatures, the supremacy of Srimati Radharani's love is revealed. A few years ago on Radhastami, we discussed the dialogue between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Ramananda Rai. Lord Chaitanya wanted to know what is the essence of the perfection of life. And Ramananda Rai began by describing surrender to Krishna by performing one's prescribed duties. Lord Chaitanya rejected it, said that is external. Giving up all duties to surrender to Krishna, he rejected that as external. He wanted to instigate Ramananda Rai to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the essence of spirituality. And the ultimate conclusion was that the loving pastimes between Radha and Krishna are the supreme most superlative expression of spiritual ecstatic love. And his evidence was this, that Radha's love for Krishna is ultimate, that Krishna in his various rasas, exchanges pure love with his devotees. But Dasya Ras is higher and more complete than Santa Ras. Sakya Ras is more inclusive and intensified. Vatsalya Ras is even more high, intense, and intimate. And Madhurya Ras includes all other rasas. It is the only ras that includes all other preliminary rasas. In a Madhurya Ras, there's two types, Swakya and Parakya. And Parakya is far superior to Swakya. And of Parakya, the Braja Gopis are supreme. The Padma Purana explains there were 18,000 gopis. And of those 18,000 gopis, 108 were most dear to Krishna. And of those 108, 8 were most dear to Krishna. And of those 8, 2 were the most dear to Krishna. Chandravali and Srimati Radharani. And of the two, Srimati Radharani is supremely dear to Krishna. She is his life and soul. The gopis would say, Krishna is Atmaram, but Radharani is his Atma. How is that? Atmaram means you're self-satisfied. You don't need anything else. Then why is he crying in separation from Srimati Radharani? If he's Atmaram, why he's crying in separation? Why he can't live without her? When Srimati Radharani left Rasa Dance, he left everything, everyone, searching for her. When he couldn't find her, he sat at Imlital. And in separation from Srimati Radharani, his beautiful blackish complexion turned gold, just like Srimati Radharani. And one time when he was in that state, Radharani came before him and said, I don't recognize you. Why are you golden? How is this? And he said, I'm feeling the intensity of separation from you. But I'm feeling such an ecstasy in this separation. I can't understand. What is the quality of your love? Therefore, in the age of Kali, I will appear with this complexion, with your complexion, to try to somehow understand the ecstasies of your love for me. And I will give that love to the whole world by propagating the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Of the gopis, there is the right-wing gopis who are very obedient to Krishna and very mild in their nature, and there is the bamya or left-wing gopis who, for Krishna's pleasure, they sometimes act in ways that are insubmissive. And Srimati Radharani is the leader of the left-wing gopis. And Chandravali is the leader of right-wing gopis. And according to Thakur Bhaktivinoda, after Radharani, Chandravali is supreme gopi. As I explained from Padma Purana, out of 18,108 of 108 of 8, and out of all the gopis, that means the crest jewel of all beings in the material or spiritual worlds, the two most dear to Krishna are Radharani and Chandravali. Who is Chandravali? But she's an expansion of Radharani herself. But for Krishna's pleasure, she appears to be competitor of Srimati Radharani. So when the gopis saw those footprints, they acclaim, this is Ayanaradhita. This particular gopi worships and loves Krishna more than all other gopis. Krishna has left everything and everyone just for her. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this was Chandravali speaking. Why? Because She's topmost, and she knows who's topmost above her. It's ultimate glorification. So through this incident of Bhagavatam, Vyasadev, Shukadev Goswami revealed to the world the supreme super excellent of the love of Sri Radharani for Krishna. During the spring season, Krishna would have his Ras dance near Govardhan Hill at a place called Rasasthali and Chandrasrovar. And one time Krishna left all of the gopis then as well. And all the gopis were searching for Krishna. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells the story that Krishna was hiding from them. But when he saw them coming, he disguised himself by assuming the form of Narayan with four arms, holding the conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower. And gopis, they were so much in this Madhurya Bhav that the conception of loving God as the Supreme was so far below their realization that they saw Narayan. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Absolute Truth. He's the cause of all causes. He's a creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything. How would you like to see him? But they didn't like to see him. They just offered obeisances as a formality. And they asked him, "Have you seen Krishna? Did you see Shyam Sundar, the beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj?" And with his four arms, he said he went that way. So they said, "Dandavat Narayan, Om Namo Narayan," and they went running to Krishna. Then Srimati Radhika came. And she saw Lord Narayan, and she bowed down before him and asked if he had seen Shyam Sundar, Gopinath. And Krishna tried with all of his might to maintain that form of Narayan. He really tried. But before Srimati Radharani, two of his arms just melted away. And all of a sudden, his flute appeared in his hand. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur explains the reciprocation of the love of Radha and Krishna. Radharani had said to her friends that, "I'm totally conquered and controlled by three principles: Krishna's flute, Krishna's name, and Krishna's picture. When I hear his flute, I'm totally conquered. I can't get it off my mind. When I hear his name, I'm totally conquered. I cannot get it out of my mind. And when I see his picture, my mind becomes absorbed in attraction for it." So these three features of Krishna have always keep me under captivity. But at the same time, Krishna is always under the captivity of Srimati Radharani's devotion. That when Krishna was living in Dwarka, Uddhava and the queens, they would hear when he was sleeping at night. Some people snore. Krishna doesn't snore. With every inhalation and exhalation came out the name of Radharani. Rukmini said once that Krishna's constantly, all night long, he's just crying out the names of Radharani. And Satyabhama said, "Why you say all night long, even in the day? He doesn't love us at all." In fact, Krishna admitted to Satyabhama that when I left Vrindavan, the only reason I married you is to pacify my mind because you reminded me of Radharani. But actually, all of you queens put together, the love I have for all of you together do not equal even one gopi, maidservant of Radharani. What to speak of his love for Sri Radharani? He's controlled, he's conquered. He is Madan Mohan. That means he even bewilders the mind of Cupid. But Sri Radhika is Madan Mohan Mohini, because she eternally keeps Krishna's mind bewildered by attraction for her. That is bhakti. Bhakti in its purest, original, transcendental ras is Sri Radharani. So, Krishna is Swarat. He is independent, but he's totally depending on the sidelong glances of Srimati Radharani's love. Bhaktivinod Thakur, in a beautiful prayer that he sings, he says that when Krishna plays his flute at night, only the name of Radha comes out of his flute. Why did Krishna leave Vrindavan with Akrura? It is said in the scriptures that Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. He cannot leave Vrindavan. He's a prisoner of the love of the Brijavasis. Therefore, when apparently his physical form left, it was actually the Vasudev form that left Vrindavan. But his original form went into hiding in the hearts of the gopis and the gopas. And by hiding in their hearts and being physically absent from their vision, Krishna increased the ecstasy of their love through vipralamba seva, or service in separation. And this is also described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sri Sanatana Goswami, that I never left Vrindavan. How could I leave Vrindavan? Impossible. I cannot leave such devotees. I am prisoner in their hearts. But I left their physical vision only so they would embrace me all the more intimately within their hearts in this spirit of separation. When Akrura was taking Krishna and Balaram away, the gopis laid their bodies in front of the chariot and said, please, take our lives now. We've given up everything for you, and you have told us that there's no way to repay you, there's no way that you could repay us because of our love for you, and now you're leaving us? After sacrificing everything only for your pleasure, you're sacrificing us? We cannot live. They begged him to stay, but when they saw his determination, they said, please, let our lives fall before these chariot wheels. But Krishna promised them that I have some business to perform. I will return. After some time from Mathura, Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to pacify them. When Uddhava was in Vrindavan, he saw the condition of the Brijavasis. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda just weeping and crying in separation from Krishna. And then when he went to meet the Braja Gopis, they could not eat, they could not sleep, all they could do was just cry. He met them at Uddhavakyari, a beautiful place deep in the forest of Braja. And there he saw Srimati Radharani, one of my dear godbrothers. Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj explains so nicely how Srimati Radharani, seeing Uddhava, understood he was a messenger from Krishna. At the time, she was on the verge of death. She was suffering from a high fever of separation. And she was speaking to her friends. She said that my fever is rising and I have no desire to live. If Krishna does not return, then I have no desire to carry on this body. Just let me go. Let me die. But there's a problem. I can't die. My soul will not leave this body. Then she happened to see a black crow flying overhead, flying in the direction of Mathura. And she cried out to the crow. She said, please give this message to Krishna in Mathura, Mathuranath. Please give him this message that he should not be so cruel. That if a person's house is on fire, the first duty of the master is to take all these simple dependent animals and release them from the house, for they're not burned in the fire. But Krishna, this body of mine is a house, and my soul, my life force, is the animal, completely dependent on Krishna, my master. And by leaving Vrindavan, he has set this house on fire. It's burning, it's burning. But he won't let my soul leave. He has put a bolt on the door, a strong bolt. And what is that bolt? His promise that he would return. Therefore, I'm simply burning to death. I'm burning and I'm burning and I'm burning. Go to Mathura, tell him to retract his promise so I could die. But why does he keep me just living on in expectation of his return when he has no intention to return? When Uddhava saw the spirit of ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, he tried to deliver a message. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes how Radharani started talking to a bumblebee as if he was Krishna's messenger. Delirious with ecstasy, she was chastising the bumblebee and indirectly chastising Uddhava. Uddhava understood, this is bhakti. He was totally humbled. Uddhava was thinking in his mind that in Dwarka, everyone thinks I am the best friend of Krishna and the best devotee. Krishna would sometimes eat with Uddhava, sleep with Uddhava, take advice from Uddhava, joke with Uddhava, embrace Uddhava. They were best of friends, practically day and night. And he was with Krishna. And when he saw Srimati Radharani's love, he understood, I have no love for Krishna. Nothing. She loves Krishna. I'm with him and I have no love. She doesn't even see him and she has such love. It was then that Uddhava made a vow that he would perform tapasya so that he could become a small plant, an insignificant blade of grass or little weed in Vrindavan, so that the dust of the feet of the servants of the servants of Srimati Radharani would be on his head. You see, when she was expressing her devotion, he wanted to, right then and there, get the dust from her lotus feet. But he did not want to hurt her heart. She's a simple gopi by social disposition. And he was one of the great, great, powerful princes of the Yadu dynasty. But he wanted to relinquish his position as a great prince. He even wanted to relinquish his position as the best friend of Krishna, to take the position of one little piece of grass in the soil of Raja, with the hope and expectation that someday the feet of the gopis, the servants of Sri Radharani, will touch upon his head. Uddhava considered that Krishna sent me there just to teach me what is pure devotional service, something that cannot be learned anywhere else. As far as our acharyas are concerned, on actual pure devotional service from the highest standard of Gaudiya Vaishnavism means without even a trace of loving Krishna with the condition that he's God or he's the Supreme. This type of purity can only be found in Vrindavan, the abode of Sri Krishna and Sri Radha. And of course, to end today's talk, we will remember the meeting of Sri Radha and Krishna in Kurukshetra. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that the separation that Uddhava saw in Radharani was the same feelings of separation that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing in his Gambira in Jagannath Puri. And during the Ratha Yatra, he experienced the ecstasy of separation of Srimati Radharani, meaning Krishna, in Kurukshetra. After a long absence, Krishna invited the Brijavasis to celebrate the solar eclipse. Krishna came with thousands of elephants and chariots. His principal queens were there, thousands of them. And the Brijavasis came in their simple fashion as gopas and gopis. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of the meeting of Vasudeva, Nanda, and Devaki, and Yashoda, and the various queens. Draupadi was meeting them also, Rukmini. But then Krishna met with Sri Radhika and the gopis in a secluded place. And Kaviraj Goswami describes this dialogue very beautifully. Srimati Radharani was praying to Krishna that you are the same Krishna and I am the same Radharani. And these are the same moonlit nights, the month of Chaitra. But I long to bring you back to Vrindavan, because here you are wearing the armor and the crown of a king. But in Vrindavan, you just wear the gunja mala and peacock feather in your hair. Here, so many glorious weapons and opulent paraphernalia. But in Vrindavan, your only weapon is your flute. In this land of Kurukshetra, there are big, big elephants decorated so nicely in horses and chariots. In Vrindavan, there are the peacocks dancing and the cuckoos singing. And there's kadamba trees, forests of kadamba trees. And the sweet song of Jamuna flowing, filled with the lotus flowers of her love. It is said that the mind and the heart are one. But my heart is Vrindavan. My heart can never leave Vrindavan. So please, it is my fervent appeal. Please, once again, place your lotus feet in Vrindavan of my heart. She said, I do not find even one tiny fraction of the pleasure in this field of Kurukshetra as I did in the land of Braja. Please return. You have promised us you will return. I am suffering bitterly, crying day and night, only living with the expectation that you may return on that day. But I don't mind my own suffering. But please, look what you're doing to your mother and father, Yashoda and Nanda. They bitterly cry day and night. They're dying in separation from you. They're drying up inside. Is this your plan? Do you want to kill them? Please return and save their lives and your friends. They are standing still like statues. The calves cannot drink the milk from the cows. The cows just stand motionless with tears flowing from their eyes. The river Jamuna ceased to flow. The birds can no longer sing. You are killing everyone. Is that your plan? Please return. We live only for you, and you have abandoned us. When Krishna heard the words of Sri Radharani, he began to weep uncontrollably. He said, please know that I reside within your hearts. And every day and every night throughout the day, I only remember you. I find no satisfaction in Mathura or Dwarka. My heart is always with you. I cry day and night in separation from you. And I worship Lord Narayan just to keep all of you alive with the hope that I will return. I only have 5 or 7 more demons I have to kill. And then I promise I will come back. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally celebrated the Ratayatra festival. For us, we may just think, nice cart with a deity on it going from Chopati to Cross Maidan, or going from Jagannath Temple to Gundicha Temple. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his meditation, was profound. In the mood of Srimati Radharani, he was seeing Jagannath as Krishna of Dwarka. But she was seeing that Jagannath with the flute in his hand, a peacock feather on his head, and she just wanted to bring him back to Vrindavan. And Ratha Yatra is the journey of Jagannath being pulled by the ropes of Sri Radha's love back home to Vrindavan. When Srila Prabhupada established Ratha Yatras all over the world, this was his meditation. To get millions of people of all walks of life to participate in this leela, knowingly or unknowingly, they will all get the mercy of Radha and Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath. If they see this festival, if they pull the rope, if they taste the prasad, if they hear the name, if they chant the name, if they dance, whatever participation, their path to Vrindavan will begin. The topics of Radha and Krishna's love affairs are most intimate and confidential. Today I spoke in a very general way. The intimate details of the loving exchanges of Radha and Krishna, we have no qualification to speak, but to speak in a public format. But these very commonly known pastimes that are spoken in Braj Parikrama, and the particular events that most illustrate the tattva of Srimati Radharani, we have tried to express as best as possible, according to our very, very limited capacity. Actually, to speak on a day such as Radhastami is very, very difficult. To be very honest with you, it's one day I don't like to speak because to speak of the glories of Srimati Radharani, the supreme worshipable goddess of Rupa and Raghunath, what could we say? And what qualification do we have to say it? It's quite shameful for me to even attempt. But as an act of duty, we have tried. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, our Prayojana Guru, he has set the standard for our sampradaya. In one prayer, he's feeling separation and praying to Srimati Radhikarani that if I am not engaged in your service, if I cannot serve the maidservants of your maidservants, if I cannot have your association in that way, then my life is hopeless. Without your mercy, Sri Radhika, this land of Vrindavan, which is most dear to me, it is looking like a desert. It has no charm. And Govardhan appears to be like a big snake coming to devour me. And Jamuna, I see no charm, nothing. Sunyayatam, like Mahaprabhu prayed, bereft of the vision of Krishna, this whole world is a dreary void. Raghunath Das Goswami is praying. Oh, Sri Radharani, and even Krishna, if you're not standing besides Krishna, I don't want him. I feel no attraction, no inspiration. If Krishna stands alone and he calls me, I will not come. But if you're standing behind him, even if he doesn't call me, I will run with the speed of the wind. It is my prayer. Please accept me as your servant and bestow your mercy upon me, because you are my exclusive object of service. So this is Gaudiya Sampradaya. The greatest personalities, many of whom descended from the spiritual world, they are all directing us to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Radharani. Because in her service only can we actually please Lord Gopinath. He is Gopinath. He is Radhanath. He is Gopikanta, Radhakanta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, Gopi Bhartur Patakamala Yora Dasa 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 Anudas. We should make our committed aspiration in life to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Radharani. Don't try to foolishly jump into the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. If you try to eat fruit that is unripe, you will simply get sick. You will not digest it. By practicing devotional service and watering our devotional creeper, gradually the fruit will ripen by the mercy of Sri Guru and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us the sublime process by sincerely, continuously chanting Harinam. In the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant, with the humility of a blade of grass, the tolerance of a tree, eagerness to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, in this spirit we must chant the holy name. And we must hear Harikatha sincerely, as it is presented by the expert physician Acharyas, who are presenting it perfectly according to our needs. When we can chant the name without offense, then we can begin to actually digest the pastimes of the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Until that time, we can hear them with moderation, just so that we have faith and enthusiasm of what we want to attain. These topics we hold very high above our head. We should not be artificially familiar with them. We shouldn't imitate great souls. But our acharyas have taught with great esteem, honor, and reverence to keep them very high above our head when we hear these topics and make it our ultimate goal, and then to serve with humility and determination in such a way that we will please Sri Guru and Gauranga. Prabhupada taught us that Srimati Radhika Rani appears in this age of Kali as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. He is Krishna in the mood of Radha. And it is that aspect of Radharani's disposition within him, the compassionate nature of the Lord that wants to give her love to everyone, that wants to bring everyone back to Krishna. And how is he doing it? By inducing us to all learn the sublime science of becoming a devotee through purifying our heart. Cheto darapana marajanam bhava maha dabagni nirvapanam. By performing this great Sankirtan. So today, we should fall at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who has given us entrance into this sublime path of pure devotional service. And we should also very, very humbly, desperately, pray at the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika Rani that by her causeless mercy, which is coming through her servants, that we can develop an actual taste for hearing and chanting her glories. That we can be relieved from all of our materialistic ego and all the attachments that are connected to it. Ego for gross enjoyment, ego for pratishta, recognition, prestige. We want to pray at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna, that by his mercy we can actually approach Radha Gopinath with pure unalloyed devotion. And we should be willing to pay any price for that devotion. Krishna is all attractive. He steals the hearts of all those who take shelter of his lotus feet. But Srimati Radharani is Hara because she steals the heart of Krishna. Therefore we chant Hare Krishna. When we chant the name of Hare, Radharani, Krishna is most pleased, especially this name, Hare, because it glorifies her as the one who controls and captures the heart of Krishna. Krishna is very much fond of this name. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this Maha Mantra. And if we can just learn to chant this Maha Mantra sincerely, the names of Radha and Krishna, all of our eternal soul desires will be fulfilled. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Shri Radharani ki jai.